Welcome to the program, ladies and gentlemen. Well, you know, one of the topics that's been in the news quite a bit lately is currency and the competition or war, if you will, of currencies and whose values are less than others and who's got a more competitive advantage than somebody else based on how their currency exchanges for others. Well, on a similar note or topic as it relates to economics and debt and printing of money, I've invited a very special guest to be on the program, and you'll find out why he's special in just a second. His name is Todd Wood. He's a financial expert, and he's the author of Currency. That's the name of the book. The website, ltoddwood.com, ltoddwood.com. And I'd like to welcome Todd to the program. Before I do that, let me give you a quick bio, because this is what makes this very interesting. Todd's background includes being an experienced international bond trader in emerging markets, but also United States Air Force Special Operations Helicopter Pilot supporting SEAL Team 6 and Delta Force in the global counterterrorism missions. Graduated from the Air Force Academy. He's got an MS, Master in Science and Engineering from University of Alaska. He's published a lot of articles. He has had a lot of special deployment and experiences in special operations. And in 1994, he joined an investment banking firm, became very highly knowledgeable in the emerging markets bond and income. And then, of course, in 2011, he wrote the book, Currency. So it is that unique blend of perspective that caused me to want to have Todd on the program. So, Todd, welcome.
Oh, David, thank you for having me on. I really appreciate the opportunity.
Well, you're going to earn your stripes right now, sir, because your perspective is sorely needed for us here and us regular folks out in the real world that don't have your military perspective and also your unique experience of blend of that with the bond trading. So here's the multi-million dollar or multi-trillion dollar question, if you will. Are we headed for some sort of serious showdown militarily or a war that will be fought economically? Of course, there's arguments that we already are doing that. In other words, is the economic aspect and the military aspect, how do those go together? Are we already in this war? Is there anything we can do about it? Start anywhere there and educate us. Educate us, Todd.
Okay. Sure. Well, you know, I did spend a lot of time flying in special ops, and I had a pretty high security clearance, and I saw a lot of the threats that are out there militarily. And when I went to Wall Street, I got very interested in emerging market debt, and I traveled extensively. I've traded really any emerging market bond out there and spent 10 to 15 days a year on the road or a month on the road. And, over time, I became aware that there are threats to this country other than military threats. And, we would have countries come to us and say, look, we want to float a few hundred million of bonds. Can you sell them for us? And we'd go to the market and there'd be no buyers, or there'd be buyers only at an interest rate that was exorbitant that they couldn't pay. So they were shut out of the capital markets. And I got to thinking over time, wow, there are threats to this country economically as well. And yes, I believe that economic weakness leads to military weakness. I think you're seeing that already.
Which leads to war, right? I mean,
yeah,
once you show weakness, that's when you have problems.
Exactly. And you're seeing it in North Korea. They have no qualms about developing a nuclear weapon and threatening them with us. They have no qualms about, launching missiles our way or towards Japan, our allies.
And that's that's partly because their economy is almost nothing.
Well, Machiavelli said it's better to be feared than loved. And my fear is that we are not feared at all. People don't worry about our reaction doing things that are against our natural interest or threaten us.
Well, they're not afraid of us anymore because we're trying to make everybody love us.
Well,
and they never. I don't know that they ever will.
You're exactly right, and we're broke.
Yeah.
We have no money, and people know that, and they know we don't want to get in a big conflict anymore. We used to train and fight and equip to fight two wars, and we're nowhere near that anymore. So, yes, I think that the fact that we are standing in the world militarily and, just respect-wise is so low that people are willing to push the limits.
Well, and that's the case. The next obvious question, which we'll take a quick break and I'll have you think about this and I'll have my listeners wonder for a moment. But the next obvious question, Todd, is what can we do about it? And so we'll come right back. Todd Wood is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. The website is ltoddwood.com. The book is Currency. Stay tuned and we'll be right back.
Many people invest without ever knowing what they pay in investment fees. When was the last time you dropped your car off for service and told them to fix whatever they want without getting an estimate first? I'll bet never. Why treat your portfolio any different? Holland Financial is ready to help. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your free consultation or visit us at davidholland.com.
And we're back with Todd Wood, who's going to give us his perspective on where we are with this economic battlefield and the risks of economic weakness on the part of the United States and how we deal with that. And I guess the question, Todd, is, and it may be something that we can't handle in a show that is of this length, but is there a road out? You know, is there a path out of this that will keep us from ending up in some sort of inevitable war with another major power or smaller power?
Well, there's a saying that if you're in a hole and you want to get out, stop digging it deeper. And first of all, we have to stop spending money we don't have. We're borrowing 45 cents of every dollar that we spend as a country, and that is scheduled to go on for decades. You know, we're approaching $20 trillion, soon to be 30 and on. So that's the first thing. The second thing is grow the economy so that we can have more people paying taxes, creating more commerce, and, you know, I think get the government out of the way. So that will happen. So I think it's not too late, but 10 years from now, it very well may be.
Well, and it may be too late if it really is politicians getting elected based on what can the government do for you today. People just don't, you know, as well as I do, some people just don't look past that. And I try to put myself in their shoes and I try to understand, but that is an awfully frustrating aspect of our democratic society, you know, strength and weakness at the same time. This is where your military experience may be very helpful. And I don't want to put you on the spot, but I would have my own opinions about this, which I'm happy to share. What do you think in terms of looking at the risks or the threats that we may face as a country militarily if we do continue to weaken? Are we talking about just people taking shots at us like we saw with, you know, Benghazi and or something with North Korea or different places where it's not like an all-out world war, but it's these really nasty, isolated things that are still very, very bad. You know, if something happens with North Korea and they actually try to set off a nuclear weapon, you know, that's bad no matter where it happens.
Well, of course. And remember, we have allies throughout the Pacific
Sure.
Rim that we are dedicated to support. So it doesn't have to be a full nuke. It can be a dirty bomb, you
Right.
know, on a missile or on a cargo ship in a harbor.
Right.
I mean, there's all kinds of ways that we can be attacked. And I will say this. I don't know exactly how it's going to happen, but I can say it will happen.
You think it's just a matter of time?
Exactly. And because, you know, people are not worried about our response. And, you know, the thing that most people don't understand how the bond market works. And if we get even a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5% interest rate rise, because right now the Fed is keeping our rates low.
Of course.
Arbitrarily.
By being the biggest buyer. Yeah.
Yeah. So we can't service that debt on $20 trillion. And, you know, that's already happened. In September of last year, the Japanese and the Chinese are fighting over some islands off their coast. And Japan's debt-to-GDP ratio is worse than ours. It's over 200%. Well, China said to Japan, if you don't give us what we want politically and territorially, we're going to destroy your economy through your bond market by you know, selling off your debt and destroying your currency.
Mm-hmm.
So this has already happened. It's just not happening to us yet. And we are heading down that path very quickly.
So it's not that we're going to have an all-out thermonuclear war with China and everybody launches all their missiles and what do they call that, assured or mutual annihilation.
Yeah.
We're not talking about that. We're talking about the economic disparities. We're talking about the loss of our ability to have you know, as much independence as we have had in our country for a long time. And the thing that concerns me is what you described just a minute ago, Todd, and this is a scenario that I always share with clients and prospective clients of my firm, is that if I say the world I live in, that you, I hope that you don't have to live in when I'm speaking to them, is my world I have to live in is that every day, tomorrow, somebody could drop some sort of dirty bomb, something gets snuck across the border and it's exploded and it you know, our stock market drops 50%.
Oh, yes. And that's what I'm talking about. It's an economic shock. You know, if China came to the market, it doesn't even have to be a nuclear warhead. It can be China coming to the market and say, we don't want any more of your debt.
Exactly.
You know, there's a saying on Wall Street that interest rates are low until they're not.
Exactly.
And you just don't know when that's going to happen.
Well, and let's connect the dots for the listeners here, Todd. If let's say at some point that there's two ways, of course, that those interest rates, you know, can obviously be increased by the Fed. That's one way. There can be, and that's just, you know, raise the rates. And then, you know, when that happens, bonds will fall in value. 1% on a 10-year bond will cause a 10% decrease in the bond's value. But the other way is the perceived risk from the market and a less of a demand for the bond because of the perceived risk or in favor of other assets that are perceived to be less risky. And that will then also cause the yield to have to increase on that bond, which is going to cause it all that also for it to cause it to go down and cause the cost of new debt issues to have to go up, which makes your problem of more and more debt even worse.
Well, yeah, and our duration on our bond portfolio is very low. I think it's around 5 to 7 years as a country. So, you know, why we're not out at 30 years at 1%, you know, or 3%, you know, is beyond me. But we should be taking advantage of this. We're borrowing money for free right now. But
why aren't we doing that? Why aren't we taking? Why aren't we issuing 30-year bonds at, you know, a couple percent?
Well, we are, but just not as many as we should be.
I see.
You know, I think it's just because they're trying to keep. It's such a short. It's like Lehman Brothers before the blow up. I mean, they're funding themselves overnight.
I got you. It's a very short term thinking.
In keeping the money, the, you know, 1% or lower. Well, you know, when this thing blows up, I mean, it's going to blow big. You know, that's the only thing I know for sure.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, more information from ltoddwood.com. The book is Currency. Todd Wood's our guest. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back.
There are hundreds of annuities available in today's marketplace. How can you know if one is right for you? Certified financial planner David Holland answers this question and more in his educational booklet on annuities. To get your free copy, call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN. The annuity booklet provides a plain English explanation of the different types of annuities so you can decide if one is a good fit for your situation. Again, that number is 888-747-7526.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We're getting insightful analysis from Todd Wood, financial expert and author of Currency. He has a very significant military background, also international bond trader, and so brings those two things together to talk with us today on the program. And, you know, I was thinking on the break, and Lisa, who is our resident technology expert in my office, Todd, reminded me of something we've talked about on a previous program, and that is this kind of ties in very much with what you're talking about when you talk about China versus Japan. If you don't give us what we want, you know, we'll cause problems for you. You know, China could do the same thing with us. Not just we don't want your debt, but you know what? We have other buyers for our manufactured goods, or, you know, some of that, because we are so dependent on things being produced and manufactured somewhere else because, you know, it's been cheaper and expedient, and also because they've, you know, deliberately kept their currency lower in value than ours. But, you know, that's a whole other risk that we don't have that manufacturing capability here in our own country.
Of course, I mean, blackmail can come in many forms, and you know, you've seen, you know, Geithner hightail to China many times, trying to keep them happy, and that's a result of that directly is what you're talking about. They have a lot of error now, if you will, for no reason, and you know, printing money to let governments buy votes to keep them in power is not a good strategy in the long run.
Well, and again, it's a very difficult thing for us to try to answer or even get our hands around, but it's like, okay, you know, because we can say, you and I can very much agree, Todd, okay, stop doing that, government. stop spending money you don't have. Stop doing this. Also, you know, develop a plan for growing the economy, not trying to, you know, instead of trying to take part of what somebody else has got on the other side of the aisle or on the other side of the fence, trying to get what somebody else got, taking one from one, you know, one person now has two, the other have zero. How about we grow and have three, four, or five? You know, make the
exactly.
whole pot bigger. And that's what I don't understand. You know, the number one job, obviously, of our government, besides defending us, should be creating it, not intervening, but facilitating or helping to encourage economic growth. And I just don't see that, and I've always been puzzled by that.
Well, I have too, and I think it's really, when you get down to it, it's just another agenda. I mean, the agenda is not...
It's not growth.
...grow the economy.
Okay.
It's to redistribute.
Because these aren't dumb guys, right? I mean, these are not dumb people in Washington. They are not dumb people, although we scratch our head and say, what are they thinking? They just, it's agenda-based. So if the goal were to grow the economy, they could do that.
Well, you know, I do a lot of business in Russia with my other company, and, you know, Putin said recently that either Obama is extremely ignorant and naive or purposely trying to destroy the U.S. economy. And that comes from someone who's actually more of a capitalist now than we are. I mean, their tax rate's 20%.
Isn't that ironic?
Yeah, I mean, they're corrupt. But as long as you leave the government alone, you can do whatever you want. And, you know, that's it's striking to me because they said, why are you giving so much power to the state when it almost destroyed us, you know, a little over a decade or two ago? So, I mean, people don't understand it. And my only answer is the agenda is there, and that's what their priority is.
Well, I think the question that goes right along with that, with your statement about Mr. Putin, is I guess if you've already answered it for me, is do other countries respect us given our financial situation?
Countries around the world only respect, especially someone like Putin. He's basically a modern-day czar, and the only thing they respect is money and power.
Mm.
And, you know, and we're having less and less of both.
I mean, we still have our own, a pretty darn powerful military, and we all know that. But if you're not able to invest in the latest technologies, somebody else is. And of course, I think we've done a pretty lousy job of doing anything about when people steal our stuff. It doesn't seem like there's any consequences. Like you said, it's like we're the dog that's a big dog sleep on the porch, and it's gotten so fat that it's just too much trouble for it to get up and do anything about the kid throwing sticks at it.
Well, the issue I see, you know, I'm in a special operator a long time ago, and I have a heart for that business. But in after 9/11, that kind of became the show in the military. But, you know, you learn at the academy that the militaries tend to fight and train to fight the last war.
Right.
And my fear is we're training to, you know, fight terrorism, and we're ignoring a coming conventional conflict.
That's a really good point.
We've ignored our Air Force. We've ignored our Navy. We've downsized our Army and Marine Corps to minimum levels. Yes, we have a very experienced force, but my fear is, you know, we own, what, 100-something F-22s? I mean, how long is that going to last in a major conflict?
Not long if somebody else has got more of them or has some better technologies.
Yeah, we own 29 B-22 B-2 bombers, I think. The B-52s are 60 years old. I mean, it's the Air Force is, you know, I'm partial to that service, but, you know, so I know a lot about it, but it's really running on very, very old equipment at this point.
And this interesting I wanted to ask you, too, Todd, is how much of a deterrent really is our nuclear arsenal? I mean, does anybody really think we're going to use it?
I think the major powers, you know, it keeps them at bay, but it just certainly does not keep an Iran at bay who doesn't care if they die. And
right.
as soon as they get a nuke, they're going to nuke Israel. I mean, that's a guaranteed, you know, point. And we're going to be involved. And, you know, so that's something we have to prevent, in my opinion, because they actually have no qualms about destroying it.
I got to ask you this. You're the perfect guy. I've been wanting to find this out. Somewhere I heard that there was some sort of part of our hesitation to do something about Iran is because there's something with Russia, with Iran, that if we attack Iran or if there's some sort of conflict, that there's some sort of treaty or something where Russia shows up. Is there something about that?
I've never heard of any
okay.
kind of treaty. I mean, they're obviously funding them and,
right.
you know, make money off of them, and that's all Russia really cares about. And
so that's another potential wrinkle and difficulty related to that.
Sure, of course.
Yeah.
But, you know, the real wrinkle with Iran is if we don't do anything, there's going to be major, major, major consequences.
Well, a bomb going off in anywhere over there, it's just horrible. I mean, the loss of life and the economic consequences. I mean, talk about how many hundreds of dollars will a barrel of oil be?
Well, and you know, that's a whole other subject. Why we're sending trillions of dollars overseas to people who want to kill us is beyond me when we have more oil than anyone in the world right under our feet.
Good point there, Todd. Hold on right there. We're going to take one more break. Todd Woods, our guest, ladies and gentlemen, author of Currency, ltoddwood.com. Stay right there.
Creating a world with less cancer takes a team effort. It takes survivors and caregivers and regular folks like you and me who all unite at Relay for Life. This year, nearly 4 million people nationwide will come together to celebrate, remember, and fight back. We're the American Cancer Society, the official sponsor of birthdays. Visit us at relayforlife.org.
And we're back with Todd Wood, who is giving us some very interesting and much-needed insight into this world we live in, economics and militaries, and some of the brutal realities that exist that, whether we're aware of them or not, they are there, and they very much could shape our future. The website is ltoddwood.com. The book is Currency. I've got to ask you this too, Todd, because you got this stuff, and I got to get it from you. let's say that North Korea says, okay, announced to the world, of course, which they would do, we got the nuke and it's on a missile and it's ready to go. And you got all of what they're doing is all about money, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they're starving, and it's just about come back to the table, give us money, and we won't blow everybody up, trying to hold the world hostage. So we say, all right, we're not doing that, and, you know, we play the game of sanctions for, you know, whatever, whatever, and then we decide we act. We take it out, or whatever we do. I don't know how that happens, but, you know, the downside risk of that, obviously, is what, China? Are they going to step in and defend their little sister there, or what?
That's a tough one, you know, and I'm out of the game for a while now, so I don't have the latest intelligence, but, you know, there's been rumors that China is not happy with North Korea.
Okay.
What is this doing? It's bringing a lot of military, U.S. military force structure into the Pacific region.
Which they don't want to have.
Which we were hightailing it out of there thanks to Obama and ignoring our allies and reducing our missile defense. And that's one thing. You know, you heard all how Star Wars was so stupid. You know, Ronald Reagan is smiling in his grave because had we not started that 30 years ago, where would we be to have some kind of capability against missiles?
Exactly. And rogue missiles and rogue dictators or whatever you would call the guy in North Korea. All right. Well, it's going to be very interesting to watch, and I think we all need to be very tuned into this, even though it's not fun to think about. And as it relates to people's money, I think they need to get a copy of your book, Currency. Todd Wood is the author. He's been our guest on today's program, ltoddwood.com. And, of course, get financial advice from somebody that can help protect you from some of these situations would be a smart move as well. Todd, thank you very much for being on the program.
Oh, I really enjoyed it. I like longer shows where we can discuss things. Thank you.
We'll have you back again. Thank you.
Excellent. Take care.
Want to learn more about Real Money with David Holland? Visit us at realmoneyradio.com, where you can listen live or to the archives. You can also email us your questions, comments, or show ideas to info@realmoneyradio.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook at Real Money with David Holland and keep up with Scott Connor by following us on Twitter at Real Money Radio.
Remember, nobody cares more about your money than you do. This has been Real Money with David Holland. Thank you for listening.